All right, today we're going to conclude our series we've been in all summer long called It's All In. Now, I've seen some posts in the last 2 weeks saying welcome to fall, but in case you didn't know it, we are still in summer, okay? So I don't know who passed along that picture to you just because it's the temperature drop. We're not quite in the fall yet, okay? We're still in the summer. And today we're concluding our summer series All In. So many of you have been talking and have messaged me and said, Pastor, man, this series has really challenged me to go to the next level in my relationship with Christ. And I say today, man, we are excited about that. I love hearing that. I love hearing about how God is moving and how God is changing your life. I love hearing about, man, God is changing me. He's challenging me to grow and to change. Now, today I want to talk to you about the thought as we conclude this series on the thought, we need a heart check. Now, how many know that it's good to get your heart checked, right? It's good to get your heart checked once in a while. We can say that we've got some issues, but, you know, you go to the heart check, we want to find out how we really are. We're going to find out about our health. And today, I believe we need a spiritual heart check as well. We need to hook ourselves to a spiritual EKG and find out what's really happening on the inside there. Many of you here are like, man, I am okay. Are you really? We're going to find out. So today, we're going to jump right into this message. You know, the first sermon today that we talked about in this series, I want to go back to that text because I believe it really touches with the heart. In Mark 12:28, it says that Jesus was asked this question. One of the teachers of the law asked him, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord God with what? All your what? Heart. Love him with all your heart. And it goes on the list, also all your soul, all your mind, with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now, we see, we've spent a lot of time referring to this text during this series. All the sermons we've done have pretty much continued to come back and reflect and come out of this passage, and I want to come back to it, return to it again today as we close out. I talked about a heart message in the first, and I want to close it today with another heart message, okay? Because I believe the heart is such an important part. Look what it says in Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else. Look what he's saying here. Listen, this is the most important thing. The most important command is what? Love with all your heart. Love God with all your heart. And look what Proverbs says. We're to guard our heart above anything else. Make it a priority. For it determines your course of life. Now today, some of you, you don't like the course your life is on. Some of you today, you say, the course of my life has really gotten off track. It's taken some detours I'm not happy with. I could really tell you that my life is really on the wrong track, Pastor. I've got some detours. Let me say this to you today. Maybe we need a heart check to get back into alignment. You know, when your heart is out of beat, out of rhythm, you can go and you can say, man, I don't feel like anything's wrong, but you go and your heart gets out of rhythm. It's got to be shocked many times back into rhythm. Or it's got to be, what, you got to have medication that slows it down or speeds up your heartbeat. If that doesn't work, then they'll put in a pacemaker because it's important that your heart is in good health. And when you take tests, they're going to hook up all these wires to your chest and tell you to run. We're going to find out just how good you think you really are. Oh, doc, there's nothing wrong with me. I feel great. We're going to find out. Plug this on. Run for 30 seconds. Oh, yeah. Sure. Look at this. There's all these things going. You're like, you find out real fast. You know, we can pretend we're okay. But many times the test doesn't lie. You know, we have people who have heart transplants, and I find it fascinating as I study about heart transplants. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. I love the movie called Return to Me. Now, listen, I'll tell you something maybe you don't know about me. At heart, I'm really a hopeless romantic at heart, okay? And there's a sappy love story from the 90s called Return to Me. It's a great movie, and every time I see it, I always tear up. I know it. I need my man card back, but you know, it's a great movie in the 90s. Ladies, if you have never watched this movie, I encourage you, when you're home today and your husband's watching NFL, like I will be hopefully some point today, watching your game and doing his man thing, you can go to Netflix and watch this movie called Return to Me. It's a story about a heart transplant. This man loses his wife. They are deeply in love. He loses her to an automobile accident. Her heart is transplanted into someone about her same age, and she receives the heart transplant, and she goes from being almost dead to now living a good life. And years later, the two meet up, not realizing that she had received his wife's heart. And of course, later on, because the personalities begin to change, he's attracted to her, and they fall in love, and they don't realize she has received his wife's heart. And later on in the film, it comes to light, and you have to watch it to find out the end of the story. But there's something about it. He was attracted. No one else was attracted to him, but he ended up returning to the heart he loved because something about that attracted him. It's a great love story, and you'll shed a few tears, okay? But I say to tell you this, that we study and find out that when people receive heart transplants, they're now saying that the heart actually has memory cells attached to it. That people are receiving heart transplants, and then later on, their personalities are changing, their cravings change, their attitude changes, and many times they're finding out that it's linking right up with the personality cravings of the person's heart who they received. It's incredible, and they're finding out, and they're believing this. Not only does the brain store memories, but the heart also has personality and also has memory traits in it as well. And so I believe that when we receive a new heart, that we got to realize that God's wanting to do something in us different. And look what Ezekiel 36 says, okay? Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, and I will give you a what? Come on, say it together. God will give us a new heart with a new and right desires. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart of sin and give you a new obedient heart. Look at this statement I made, and I believe it can really hit home with you today. Our transformation cannot center around behavior modification. Now, I grew up all my life with people telling me, you just change the way you're acting, then everything else will be okay, right? And so we try to change our behavior, modify our behavior to get right with God. And I believe this, that really sets us up for great failure in our life. Because what happens is the attention goes off of God's grace. It goes off of God's redemption grace in our life. And it puts the attention back on us to try to perform up to a certain standard and earn the salvation we've been freely given by grace. Now, if you've heard me preteach anything, we receive the grace of God only by what? Grace. I have been redeemed only by the grace of God, not by anything good I've ever done. It's given to me freely. I just got to accept the work of the cross and what Jesus did. It's grace. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. I can never be that good. And you can never be that good. But that's why it's called grace. We receive it freely. So where does true change happen then? I got to quit trying to change and put all my attention on behavior modification. And I've got to realize I've been given a heart transplant. And God wants to put his personality. He wants his DNA to flow through my veins. He wants his blood. You know what? It has cleansed you of all unrighteousness. You have been changed. I want to give you a new heart. I want to change your cravings. I want to change the way you think. I want to change the way you see. I do want to change your behavior, but it is not based on behavior modification. It's based on the heart of God. I have received a heart transplant. If you're a Christian today, you've received a new heart. So we got to realize that, okay? Quit trying to earn a new heart and realize I've received a new heart. Now I've just got to let that DNA begin to come alive in my chest. Let that thing become alive in my spirit. See, because our heart reflects where we really are at, right? Come on now. This will tell. The test doesn't lie. How many guys say, man, I'm in great shape. There's nothing wrong with me. But we go in for the heart checkup and realize we got some blockage we didn't know about. We ate way too many fat foods. The cholesterol's up. I can say I'm okay all I want, but the test doesn't lie. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's about to get good in this place today. You're about to get a spiritual test today. We're going to do a heart test, okay? And I hope you're ready. This is going to be good. All right. Scripture teaches us that where your treasure is, what there your heart is also. What the things you value, the things you value, there your heart is found. And so how do I know if I got God's heart? How can I test and see if my heart's right, lining up with the new heart I've been given? So let's take a spiritual heart test today. Let's just look at a few things. May I ask the question, do I complain frequently? Do I criticize others? Is your heart callous to God's work? Am I worried about making my name great or about pointing people to Jesus? These are some, just a few issues that we can just look at right here today and judge our heart. Some of you, man, we're just negative all the time, always complaining. You find yourself always complaining, being negative all the time, then you've got some heart problems. You haven't allowed the DNA of the new heart you've received to come to work in your life. Do I criticize other people? Am I always critical of other people? I got to watch it and see, is my God's DNA lining up in my life? Is your heart callous to God's work? Some of you here, you've seen God work and move so much that when you see it, you're like, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, yeah. God's really moving. Hallelujah. What time are we going to go eat, Pastor? We got 10 more minutes. All right. Come on. You know I'm telling the truth today. We've gotten callous to God moving. We take it for granted when God does something. We take it for granted. We've gotten callous that when we hear a message and we know we need to change. That's good. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't apply to me. It applies to everybody else. My heart's gotten callous to God's work. Am I worried about making my name great, or am I worried about pointing people to Jesus? See, when your heart's in the wrong place, you do things in Jesus' name all to make your name great. Don't act like you've never been there. You know what I'm talking about. We do things, you know. I can remember early on in ministry, I was worried about, are they going to like me? Was that a good message I preached? Did these people affirm me? Are they accepting me? And it's all, you know, I'm doing things for Jesus. But I'm worried about what everybody else is thinking. I'm worried about all these other things. Am I making a name for myself? Am I building my ministry? And that's not the heart of God. No, it wasn't until I said, you know what, God, I could care less if I ever am well known. I could care less if anybody ever tells me I preach another great sermon. I could care less. It's about the kingdom of God. I want to promote the kingdom of God. I want to make other people look good. I want to make you most of all look well and look good. And I want to promote you as great. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. It's not about building my name up in ministry. It's a heart issue. See, I had some heart issues there. And I didn't like it when I saw the results. They were not pretty. But it's who I was. We are who we are. You'll hear some coaches say that today after they lose. The score reflects who we are. This is who we are. And they're not happy about it. Sometimes we just got to look at the test and say, we are where we are. This is who I am. And, you know, it's not always easy, but it's important that we look and realize. We could talk about so many different things today. I just want to give you a few things that kind of use, is my heart, how's my heart? I'm checking up on my heart. So how do we have a heart like Jesus? I'm glad you asked that question because I got some answers for you today. All right. So how do we have a heart like Jesus? Number one, we have a heart like Jesus when I want my heart to care about what Jesus cares about. I want my heart to care about what Jesus cares about. Look what it says in Ephesians 2. Be full of love, following the example of Christ, who loved you. He gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sins. He wants us to follow his example. And his example says this, that God so loved the world. Why did he have to use the word so? Because if he just said God loved the world, I can deal with that. But when he so loved, there's something different. That strikes a different reaction within me and within you. He so loved the world. And it moves me that I got to realize this, that so love, what's so love mean? Well, I can get up and tell my wife, honey, have a great day. Love you. Love you too. Bye. That's great. But if I say, honey, I so love you. Bone chicken, wong, wong. Ow, it's on. There's something about putting that word so, you know. My kids are like, la, 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 dad, come on. It's something about the word so. He didn't just love you, he so loved you. It moved him to compassion. See, this is the real struggle. Let's put it up here. Sympathy versus compassion. See, many of us, we have sympathy. We have sympathy for those that are hurting. We have sympathy for those who maybe are struggling. Sympathy says, get well, I'm praying for you. If you walk into the drugstore today, you'll see cards there, and they have a whole sign that says sympathy cards. I'm sorry about your hemorrhoids, but I hope God blesses you. I don't know, but it's sympathy. You feel sorry, right? It's a sympathy card. It doesn't really do much. It doesn't move you to compassion. Sympathy. But there's a difference between sympathy and compassion. Compassion moves us to action. Compassion moves us to action. It refuses to stay the same. I don't just feel sorry for you, but it moves me to take action in my life. Compassion moves me there. Compassion says I move to action. You know, I can feel sorry and have sympathy for all the foster kids in Jasper County. I can say, boy, I pray that, you know, they're okay. Do something for them. Or I can be moved to action. I will tell you this, that this Christmas, we're already in the staff. We're planning this. The details are to come real soon. We've been in contact. We've got confirmation with the Jasper County foster care system. And this Christmas, we're going to give a Christmas party for every foster kid in Jasper County. Isn't it awesome? They're wanting us to party. It's like nobody's doing anything for them. So we're going to come in. We're going to throw them the biggest Christmas party they've ever been to. We're going to have big blow-ups. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have a gift for every kid. We're going to just love on them, let them have a great time, and just speak over them life, speak over them love, and let them know that somebody loves them. But, Pastor, it's going to cost a lot of money. You're right. And we'll get zero return as an investment when you look at it financially. And we're not doing it to get anything back. We're not doing it to promote our name. We're not going to do it in the front parking lot so that everybody can drive by and see us. Nothing wrong with that. But we're not doing it that way. I could care less if anybody knows our church is doing it. I could really care less. You know what I care about? Those kids are going to be touched that night. That's what I care about. I want people to know that we love. It's going to cost us. You better clap now because you're going to help me give. My mouth's writing checks. You're going to have to help me cash. You're going to have to serve, and we're going to give. We're going to take care of them. We're just going to love on these kids and let them know somebody loves them. Why? Because I'm moved with compassion. I'm moved with compassion. We got people in this, people who attended this church who are moved with compassion They're going in undercover and they're doing co-op work and they're working with law enforcement. And they're going in and they're rescuing humans who are kidnapped in the sex trade, underage girls who have been pimped out, trapped in the sex trade and trafficking. And they're going in and rescuing them, taking them to safe homes. We're working with safe homes. We're working with them. And they're getting, listen, this is not something, okay, for the faint of heart. This is a very much risky operation. They're putting some their life at risk many times when they go for this, okay? And so, but we got people who are doing that where it's not time to talk about who they are yet because we're trying to protect them, okay, their cover. There'll come a time that maybe we can tell you what's going on with that. But they're moved with compassion. They can't sleep because their mind is thinking about these girls who are trapped. They don't just feel sorry for them. What can we do to get them out? He said, somebody asked me today and said, you're crazy. He goes, you think you can rescue all these girls? No, but I rescued one this weekend, and I rescued another one last weekend, and the weekend before I rescued somebody else, and I'm changing some people's lives. I got a text at 3 o'clock in the morning, Friday night and Saturday night. They had two successful rescues, pulling them out, getting them into safe homes. These girls are now going to testify against their pimps and put them behind bars. This is an awesome story. It's happening. I mean, this is all happening in here. Why? Because people are moved with compassion, not just sympathy. We got people who are going out and feeding the homeless and clothing them. Why? Because they're moved with compassion, not just feeling sorry for them. I pray that when we have God's heart, we're not just sympathetic, but we're moved with compassion. How many of us need to be moved with compassion every day? There's people that need you to act out, not just feel sorry for them, but reach out to them, help them, love them, encourage them, talk to them, pray with them. God's heart moves with compassion. 21 times in Scripture we see where it says that our God was moved with compassion. Jesus, many times it was, you read the story and he would say he was tired or he'd been ministering all day long or for days and he would go somewhere to rest, but he was moved with compassion and he would start doing it again without any rest. Why? Because he just couldn't help it. He was moved, motivated by compassion. We see this in Scripture. He was just continually motivated by compassion. See, when you have God's heart, you're motivated by compassion, not the sympathy. Number two, I want my heart to be indifferent to what Jesus is indifferent to. What do you mean by indifferent? I mean unconcerned, unmoved. Jesus was unmoved, unconcerned. Everybody else is in the storm, and what's he doing? He's sleeping, right? Get up here, Jesus. The wind's blowing. The rain's coming. The waves are big. We're going to die. What? He gets up, rips sleep out of his eye. What are you guys worried about? He just had a different attitude. He knew where his safety lied. He wasn't moved. He was indifferent to other people's opinions. Some of us here, you let everybody else's opinion rule your life. What are my parents going to think? What are my friends going to think? How about what God thinks? That's an all-in spirit, right? What does God really think? What are my friends going to think when I abandoned? What is God going to think? He was unmoved with people's opinion. He was unmoved with their timetables. I mean, look what he's told the people in Luke chapter 9 and 59. They're like, hey, I'll follow you, Jesus. I'll follow you. Let me go and follow you. Look what he told them. This man come to him. He said, I'll follow you, Jesus. He said, but first I got to go bury my family member who died. Look what Jesus said. Let the dead bury the dead. Instead, you go everywhere and tell about the kingdom of God. Then the mother man said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first go home to my family. And Jesus said, anybody who begins to plow the field but keeps looking back is of no use to the kingdom of God. See, he didn't let people's timetables control him. You know, we're all that way. I would follow you, but... And I think today, this is the question we have to ask ourselves. First of all, was Jesus sympathetic and compassionate to those who died? Yes. We see stories in Scripture where he was moved when he lost his close friends and friends of his lost close friends. He was moved with compassion. And it showed that he would go great distances to comfort and even to heal. And he wept with them and cried with them. So we know this response was not because he was cold-hearted about someone who died, okay? But it was the point of, I'll follow you after I take care of my business. I'll do this, and then I'll follow you. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, man, you're great. You're great. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. But first, let me take care of these affairs. First, let me take care of this. First, let me get this in order. How many of us, let's answer this question today. How many of us say, God, I'm ready to go all in. But first, what is it? What is this stopping you? God, I'll go in. But first, let me get out of college. Because I'm not ready to settle down yet. I got some things I need to do in college. I'm still young. And when I get out of college, then I'm going all in. And we get out of college, you're like, but God, I'm going to go all in. But first, let me find my man. Hallelujah, right there. Let me find my spouse. And then I'll go all in. Because until then, I gotta stay single. I got to keep my options open. I don't have time. And then we get married. You're like, oh, God, I'm going to go all in. But first, let me enjoy my spouse. And after we have children, and then we'll go all in. And then there's one excuse after another. And he's like, listen, if you're going to go all in, stop making excuses. No. Those who have the right heart are like, I'm going all in now. I'm not doing anything else first, but going head first. God, I'm going in with you. Everything. Those with the right hearts. This is what he's looking for, those to follow him, who quit making excuses about timetables and other people's opinions and keeping them back, but to go for it. Let me give you some spiritual truth today. Either he's Lord, or you are. I know it's good. It's a quiet in this room this morning. Either he is Lord or you are. No in between. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And I've got to realize and say, God, either you're Lord or I'm Lord. And there's not room for two. There's only one. He's not going to take a back seat to you being Lord of your life. He won't do it. He won't do it. And so we've got to say, God, now. That's the right heart. God, now. I'm ready to go all in. And number three, I want my heart to get angry about what Jesus gets angry about. I want my heart to get angry what Jesus gets angry about. We see in Scripture where many times Jesus got angry over many things. And one of the most biggest tales where Jesus got angry when he came in. Remember, he came in to the temple and changed over the money changers to there. And he was angry and flipped over the tables and chased them all out with the whip. He's like, yeah, go Jesus. So I kind of like that Jesus sometimes. And I love it that he was not a spiritual wimp, you know. Yeah, he willingly gave himself on the cross, but he was not a wimp. He took the suffering like a man because he loved you and I. And I love it, the fact that at times he got angry and he showed. And he got angry. And I have people who misinterpret this all the time. Like, he was just angry because people are trying to make money in the church. How do we know that money wasn't going to help the needy? How do we know that money wasn't going to help the widows? How do we know that money wasn't going to start new churches? We don't know that. You know what I believe in my heart, why he was really upset? Because what they were buying was sacrifices. Instead of them taking time to raise up their own sacrifice, they were shortcutting, coming in, buying the sacrifice, walking in, and giving it up as an offering. And he's like, it makes him angry because he's like, no, it's not about that. It's about you learning to sacrifice. What did you bring? Not what you shortcut to. What did it cost you? And I believe that infuriated him. He wanted that. And we see times and we see things in Scripture that really upset the Lord. Let's look at some of these. Hypocrisy, man. People who are hypocrisy. Remember when he told the people, he said, listen, quit looking at the speck in your brother's eye and look at the log jammed in your eye. Does that sound like a man who was upset? Yes. He wasn't happy about it. He hates hypocrisy, and we're still dealing with it today in the church. Everybody else's sin is greater than my sin. We point at everybody else's, and we refuse to look in the mirror at ourselves. Well, their sin is great, but my sin is small. Come on. That makes Jesus upset. He said, listen, quit being that person. Quit being a hypocrite. Deal with yourself. Look at your own sin. Deal with your own problems. Quit pointing out everybody else's. Greed really upset him. He didn't like it when people loved their things more than they loved him. That's why he told the ruler, rich young ruler, remember? Go sell all you got, then come follow me. Was it because he was against him having a lot of things? Was he against him being a rich person? No, not at all. That wasn't what he was upset about. He was upset because he loved, that man loved those things more than he loved Jesus. And we got to realize that it upsets him when our greed rules us. I would give my time, but I would serve, but I can't come for two services and serve in the kids' classroom and then stay for a second service. Huh. That's the only time I have all week. Really? 90 minutes. Once every 6 weeks. That's really going to kill us, right? I would give this week, but I got to hang on to this. I need this. He hates that spirit. Greed upsets him. He wants you to learn to be a giver of your time, your talent, your treasure. Lukewarm living upset him. He says, I'd rather you're hot or you're cold. But if you're lukewarm, what do you say? I'll spew you out of my mouth. It's like someone who's kind of upset. Yeah, he didn't like that. Lukewarm living really upset him. He's like, I hate it when people are on the fence. He's like, go all in or just get out. But don't sit there on the fence. How many of us, we don't even care. We live our life on the fence. We're right there. We got 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you. I know he's not preaching to me today. How many of us? And it upset him. See, when you have a right heart, you realize, boy, these things upset him. I got to have his heart. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire for him. Hard hearts. They upset him. Remember when it says that he could barely do any works, good works in places that had hard hearts? They would harden their heart to him. Not receiving his message, and maybe he healed a few headaches and then left town. It upset him when people had hard hearts, not receiving. Some of you here, you know what I'm talking about. You've already hardened your heart today. He's like, listen, I'm trying to talk to you. Listen, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart to the message. He hated superiority, those who thought they were better than everybody else. Get the kids out of here. Take the kids away from Jesus. We got more important things. We're superior. He's like, no, bring the kids to me. Put them in my lap. Let me touch them. Let me bless them. For great are these kids. He was not into spiritual superiority, okay? I hate to break it to you. Get that one woman to the side. She's only giving two bits. No, he's like, she's giving more than any of you guys. Look at her heart. He hated people who thought they were superior over other people, and he hated spiritual pride. It upset him. It upset him when we had spiritual pride. We had people who had spiritual pride, and they thought they were doing things in the name of religion. And it upset him to the point he called them a bunch of vipers. Son, a guy who was upset, he was upset. He's like, you vipers, you're a brood of vipers, man, shooting out venom out of your mouth. It upset him when he allowed spiritual pride. Some of you here, you've got that. You operate in spiritual pride. I've got so much knowledge of the Word of God, and I am so much superior over these other people who do not know. Come on. Those are things they upset his heart. They upset his heart. This is just a few, but we're learning these things that make him angry should anger us. When I find myself being a hypocrite, when I find myself greedy, when I find myself living lukewarm, when I find myself hardening my heart to the message, when I find myself feeling superiority over other people or spiritual pride rising up, these things anger our Lord. He's not happy with them. They should anger us. When I hear a message that talks about changing something, I need to change, and I say, that doesn't apply to me. It applies to everybody else. That angers him. He doesn't like it. And so we got to learn to have his heart. It moves us with compassion. We don't let people's opinion mold us. And we don't let things that anger him rest well with us. That should really make us uneasy as well. So the question becomes, how is your heart today? How is your spiritual heart? I know today that if you're anything like the first service today, many of you are like, wow, check, check. You're getting back a spiritual report card today, and you're like, man, Pastor, this kind of hurts to sit through. Why did you choose to end the series with this? Because, listen, we can't go all in if our heart's not right. This is where it's at. This is where it's at. We have been given a spiritual transplant of a new heart. So I want you to begin to put your attention on walking in that new heart, thinking differently, letting it rule you. I want you to bow your heads this morning. We have some musicians that are coming, and I want to ask you this question. For many of you here, it's the most important question you'll ever be asked in your life. And it's the question of today, am I ready? Have I ever asked Jesus Christ into my heart? Pastor, you're talking about receiving a new heart. I've never received a new heart. And today I want to accept the work of the cross. I want to accept the grace that Jesus gave to us on the cross. I want to confess him as Lord of my life. And I want to experience that grace, that forgiveness that he brings. We won't do anything to embarrass you or single you out. Nobody's looking right now but me. But I want to give you a chance today. If you're here and say, Pastor, I want to confess Jesus as Lord of my life. I've never done that before. Can you just raise your hand where you're at? Is that you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So I've never done that yet. Today I want to, Pastor. Yeah. I want to join these. Several hands going up. Anybody else? You say, I'm ready to accept Jesus today in my life. Thank you. I'm ready to accept that new heart, Pastor. If you haven't raised your hand, raise it right now if you're ready to accept it. Thank you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. Those of you who raised your hands, I want you to pray this prayer out loud. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. I accept the work of the cross. I accept your grace in my life. I believe you are the Messiah. And I will live all my days following after you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family, God. Come on, give a big hand. Yeah. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, it's just the beginning. It's not the end. It's just the beginning of a new journey. We want you today, if you prayed that prayer, before you leave, stop by our welcome center in the back. We've got a free Bible for you. Inside that Bible, it's got information on next steps. If you don't have a church home, you need to be connected. It's an important part of being a Christian is being a part of a body of believers who can encourage you, teach you, support you in your new decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't do it by yourself. You need someone to help you. And so stay connected, okay? Allow us to help you out. If you have a church home and it's not here, go back to that church home. Let that pastor or one of your leaders know, I accepted Jesus Christ today. How many today is you? Look at me, okay? Look at me. How many today? We're not going to bow our heads. I'm just going to ask you publicly. How many today, Pastor? As you were giving that checkup, I realized that I didn't do so good in some areas. Anybody here? Yeah, okay. I can tell you as I was reading, there's some things I need to work on. See, there's some things I need to work on, right? And so do you. See, going all in and saying, God, I don't want to focus all my attention on behavior modification. I need to focus my attention on the new heart I've been given, allowing that DNA to change me, flow through me, change the way I think, change the way I act, change the way I speak, change the way I love. It should move me to compassion. It should sadden my heart, anger my heart for the things that sadden and anger your heart. I want to learn to have your heart. I want to learn to let that DNA come through me. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. We're going to close with a song that simply says, Amazing Grace. I love this old hymn. It's a great song. Let's make it personal today. God, I'm giving you everything, full surrender, going all in. Thank you for your amazing grace.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear? Yeah, I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Oh, and like the blood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing love. His mercy is unending love, amazing grace.
Today I invite you to join me as we simply lift our hands up to the Lord like this, as a sign of surrender. Say, God, I give you everything. We're going all in. Everything, God. May my heart be ready today, God, to go all in. May I quit making excuses. May I quit putting all my attention on behavior modification. And may I begin to look at the new heart that you've given me. May I begin to look at the new heart you've given me and allowing me to flow. May my heart hurt for the things that your heart hurts for. May I be moved with compassion beyond sympathy, but moved with compassion that requires action. Going all in. I'm going all in. I'm going all in. God, we surrender completely to you today. We say we surrender completely to you today, God. We're going all in. We give you everything. Everything. Holding nothing back. No more excuses. Nothing else ties us back. We're saying all in for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name. If you believe that today, can you put your hands together and bless the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. How many is going all in? Are you ready? Wow, I'm so excited about what God's doing in your life. Thank you so much for being here. Listen, guys, if you signed up to buy tickets, whether you paid for them or not, I need you to stop by and get those tickets in the back, okay? We need to get those out today so you have those. If you're planning on going to the game, God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Have a great turnout for those. God bless you. Amen.